Okay, well, hey, everybody. Hey, Ron, I have to say I'm impressed. I didn't know that you were a natural born trainer. You didn't tell me that. But I don't know if you know that my previous job was I was a director of a training department. So, you know, I hired trainers. And so I have an ear, you know, when you're really trained at something, you have an ear. And you're good. Yeah, you're good. So I'm glad to have you aboard. And I just want to make sure that Ron knows that his slot is not every week, that he shares that slot with Nancy and Steven. You're aware of that? Okay, good, good. All right, then, last week, I left you with a cliffhanger. I don't know if you remember my cliffhanger. It may not have been a cliffhanger for you. It was whether I was going to continue sharing from I Am That or not. I told you I'd contemplate it. I said I was getting a little bit bored with the questions, that I wasn't able to go as deep with Nisargadatta as I'd like to, because the questioners kept him at a more surface level. So here's what I've decided to do. I have decided to use three books, and I will kind of move between them as I want to, which means I will come back to I Am That and touch it every now and then. And we'll keep the name of this program I Am That. But I am also going to be looking at the Nisargadatta Gita. And I'm going to be looking at Consciousness and the Absolute, the Final Talks of Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. And maybe, you know, I'll have a little more fun. A little more fun going between these books. So if anybody, you know, likes to read along, if that's what you like to do and you like to buy the books, then that's what you'll want to get, is the Nisargadatta Gita and then Consciousness and Absolute, the Final Talks of Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. And tonight, I'm going to start with the one that excites me the most, the Nisargadatta Gita. The Nisargadatta Gita is by a man named Pradeep Apte. I don't know exactly. Let me type that in the Pradeep Apte. And I may have said that wrong. And actually, I think it seems to me like I heard somewhere. Yeah, I think he might be an American man. And this is just a name that he took on. Let me just read the back of this to you. The Nisargadatta Gita was first released on the internet in February 2008. Since then, it has been acclaimed worldwide as one of the best expositions of the teaching of Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. The essence of the teaching has been expressed in a very clear and lucid style. The Nisargadatta Gita has only one chapter, I Am, which consists of 231 condensed quotes of Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, along with a short commentary on each quote. These quotes have been prepared from a collection of 572 I Am quotes compiled from 10 main books, beginning with I Am That, which cover almost all of the recorded dialogues of Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. So in a way, it's similar to the Seven Steps to Awakening. The difference is, you know, so it's a collection of quotes. The difference is this author put in a commentary instead of just putting the quote, where with the Seven Steps to Awakening, we just have the quotes, right? So that's the main difference. This third edition is the first official printed version and has an appendix titled, I Am That, A Realization, which is a tribute to the guru by his disciple. And I first heard about this book from Bentinho. So that's where I learned about the book. Just a little bit. Oh, no, I'm wrong. It looks like the author is Indian. I don't know where I got the idea he was American. It says Pradeep Apte was born on the 26th of January, 1954 in Indore, India. And then it goes on to talk a little bit more about him. But, you know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking at this kind of stuff, I want to dive right into the content. But I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of an idea about this book that I have selected. And see this picture is the dedication. I assume this is probably Pradeep. It says, dedicated to the great master Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. And you can see it's a very devotional picture. So, and I'm not even going to read, at least for now, there's a prologue, the beginning, but I'm not going to read that now. I might read it later and see if it's worth coming back to. Like I said, I kind of want to jump in. Well, there's a lot here. There's the prologue, and then there's something called the Genesis. And then we get to page 23 is where the first and the last chapter, I am. So I'll read the quote to you maybe a couple of times, especially since you don't have a book to look on with me. And then we'll look at the, we'll read what Pradeep has written, and then we'll see what comes up to say. I think this is going to be much better than I Am That, to be honest. I'm really excited about this book. So here we go. Quote number one. The I am came first. It is ever present, ever available. Refuse all thoughts except I am. Stay there. Here we go again. The I am came first. It is ever present, ever available. Refuse all thoughts except I am. Stay there. All right, here's the commentary. Understanding the I am, your sense of being, or just presence, is extremely important, as on it rests the entire outcome of the teaching. Firstly, are you at all aware of your being or of the fact that you are? You have to be before anything else can be. Your sense of presence, or the feeling I am, is really fundamental to anything that has to follow. Secondly, this sense of being, or the feeling I am, was it not the very first event or happening before any of your living experiences could begin? Apply your mind. Go back in time to the moment when it dawned on you that you are, or I am. This I am is still there with you, ever present, ever available. It was and still is the first thought. Refuse all other thoughts and come back there and stay there. So try to understand and grasp this beingness or I amness that is inherent in you. The more precisely and clearly you do it, the more rapid will be your progress. So again, the commentary is written by Pradeep, but I can tell that he is extremely familiar with Nisargadatta Maharaj, because some of these things I remember reading Nisargadatta Maharaj saying himself. For example, this, and I poo-pooed this when Nisargadatta said it, this applying your mind and going back in time to the moment when it dawned on you that you are or I am. I poo-pooed that because I thought there's no way I can remember the moment I realized I am. But I guess my question is, can any of you, do any of you all have that memory? Yeah, nobody's answering, so maybe not. Yeah, it seems like I did a meditation once. I did a meditation once. I wonder where I got that meditation. Because in that meditation, I did hit, I wouldn't call it a memory. It was more like I hit it in this time right now. But what the meditation did was it asked you to, you know, it's kind of like, and of course I'm not remembering this perfectly because it was a couple years ago. And I don't know if I can even remember where I found the meditation. If I could, I would find it and play it for you. But what they did in the meditation was they would ask you to like go back a year, you know, and remember something from a year ago, and then go back 5 years, and then go back 10 years, and then go back 25 years. And this was a very slow process. This was like a 30-minute meditation, and it was very carefully guided. But you went all the way back, all the way back, all the way back to your birth and to your conception. And I don't know that I actually remembered my birth and my conception. I wouldn't say that that occurred for me. But what did occur for me was a genuine sense of beginning. It's like I could feel that sense of beginning. And of course, then the question becomes, it's the koan, right? The question becomes, who were you before you were born, before you were conceived, right? Who were you before you were conceived? And I remember it was a pretty profound experience. Because there was this sense, I can't call it anything else, it wasn't a memory in my case, but there was this sense of beginning, and yet, and yet not beginning. I don't know how else to describe it. And I really think that's what he's getting to in this particular commentary. Because Nisargadatta Maharaj says, the I am came first. Well, using the language of my teachings, the I am that came first was actually the second principle of God. And when he says came first, what he means is it came before creation, right? It came before an experience of the world. So it came before the third and the fourth principle of God, or before a seeming you as a human. But this sense that I had in this guided meditation, which I completely forgot about until just now, by the way, this is a miracle that this memory is even popping up. The sense that I had in this meditation, it was like the beginning of the I am, you know, the beginning of a conscious life. Conscious meaning aware of a self. But there was this sense that wasn't the real beginning. You know, it was like a beginning and not a beginning, right? It was the beginning of a conscious life, the beginning of a sense of self. And yet at the same time, there was the sense that wasn't really the beginning. Like there was something before that. And if we pay close attention to Nisargadatta's teachings, and as we go through this Gita, I think we'll have more of the opportunity to do that than we did in I Am That. Because we won't have these questioners interrupting us with their foolish questions. You know, what Nisargadatta really teaches is he teaches us to focus on that I am presence, on that sense of beingness, right? But what he teaches is that if you learn to find that and abide in that, that at some point the I am itself becomes an object. What you come to realize is that you are something else looking at the I am. I don't mean that your consciousness looking at the person, right? That will be the first layer, right? First you think you're the person, then you come back and you think your consciousness looking at the person. But then you come back again and you realize you're looking at consciousness. Right? You're before the beginning. And in fact, let me show you something. I'm going to share my desktop for a second just to show you something. I think I still have it here. I did clean off my desktop the other day to show you something I keep on my desktop. Oh, of course, it's still here. I wouldn't get rid of this. Nisargadatta, I am that which knows that I am. You know, so I am that which is aware of the presence I am. So it's kind of funny. First, we have to get to the I am as a genuine identity. Because when we start the spiritual search, we're actually at I am, you know, Regina. You know, I am woman. I am, foolishly enough, 58 years old, because that's silly because that changes all the time, right? But still, we identify with it. So first, we have to get back to just I am. But then we focus on that I am. Focus on that I am. Stay with that presence of I am. And at some point, it dawns on us, wait a minute. What's aware of I am? The I am becomes an object. And that's the awakening to the absolute. In fact, I saw a quote from Nisargadatta recently that said, when you see the I am, I don't know if it was used the word as object or not, but that was the idea. When you see the I am as an object, you've gone as far as you can go. And these teachings, I adore these teachings. You guys have heard me say this a million times, because not everybody teaches this. Most people, most spiritual teachers out there teach as if the I am is the awakening. Using the language of Christianity, the I am is the Son of God. But that which knows the I am is the Father. And we want to wake up all the way back to the Father. We don't want to stop at the Son. So I keep this on my desktop because I know that this is the absolute truth. Not because he's cute or anything, because he's not. I can find a cuter master to put on my desktop. He's probably the craziest looking sage I've ever seen, but he's pretty dang wise, right? So back to the quote then. The quote says, the I am came first. So there's a beginning here. But what we want to do is get back to what's beginningless prior to this thing that begins, right? The I am came first. It is ever present, ever available. Refuse all thoughts except I am. Stay there. So he's really encouraging us in this quote to go from the person to the I am. Right? That's what has to be done first, from the person to the I am. Once you're there, then you can begin looking at going to before the I am. So let me just read this commentary again. Understanding the I am, your sense of being, or just presence, is extremely important, as on it rests the entire outcome of the teaching. Firstly, are you at all aware of your being or the fact that you are? You have to be before anything else can be. Your sense of presence or the feeling I am is really fundamental to anything that has to follow. Now, what's amazing, beautiful about that paragraph is, you know, there's people running around all over the world, all of which are being. In fact, we're called human beings, right? All of which are being, and almost none of which are paying any attention to that. You know, it's the most basic, fundamental fact about us, and it's the greatest gift. And yet most people pay almost no attention to it. And why do I say it's the greatest gift? Well, the same thing that he says right here in this paragraph. You have to be before anything else can be. I mean, just think of one memory in your lifetime, one experience you're really glad you had. And I'm sure you've had more than one, but let's just think of one right now. If you didn't be, you couldn't have had that experience. Right? Being is fundamental to everything. So it's an incredible gift. In fact, if you contemplate the gift deeply enough, you become speechless with gratitude. I mean, how do you say thank you for being? And so what Pradeep is doing, it appears, in his commentary, is he's trying to help us have this appreciation of this gift of our own isness that most people aren't even aware of, even though it's the most obvious thing in the world. And he actually wants us to contemplate this gift, our beingness, our presence, our isness, and appreciate it with love and gratitude. And he even says that this is fundamental to the whole rest of the teaching, which is probably why he put it here at, you know, the first quote in the book. You know, if we don't take the time to be aware of our beingness and to have love for our beingness, then the rest of Nisargadatta's teachings are going to go nowhere. He goes on to say, secondly, the sense of being or the feeling I am, was it not the very first event or happening before any of your living experiences could begin? And even though we can't really remember our sense of I am-ness beginning, we know. We know that had to be first, right? He says, apply your mind. Go back in time to the moment when it dawned on you that you are or I am. This I am is still there with you, ever present, ever available. It was and still is the first thought. The first thought. The Course in Miracles calls it a tiny mad idea. I am. You know, there's somewhere I also saw another Nisargadatta quote where he calls it, it's like the, I don't remember, again, I can't remember words very good. I more remember the content than the actual words, but like the first fall. You know, the I am is again, the equivalent of the second principle of God. which means it's the first step away from the absolute. So he calls it the first thought. It's not really a thought like the kinds of thoughts we have in our mind now, like the chatter. Another way to think of it is the first creation. In fact, in the Bible at John 3:16, why don't I pull that up real quick? I'm sure I can find that pretty easily on the internet. And then we'll have to quit. John 3:16, it's the most famous of all Christian quotes. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The way this quote was reinterpreted for me, which is why I love the quote now, is that the I Am presence, right, is that gift that we just spoke about. And whoever not just believes in him, but focuses on, of course, the word him is being used here. It's really not a him. It's just the I Am presence. But whoever focuses on this, gives attention to this, shall not perish, but have eternal life, which means shall awaken to the eternal. Right? Through the I Am. Jesus said, I am the doorway, right? I am the door. I am the way, right? That's what he said. I am the way. But it meant like a doorway. I am the way. And people took it to mean that the physical Jesus was the way, that man. But it's the I am. I am is the way. I am is also the doorway to the absolute. And God so loved the world that he gave us the I Am, his one and only Son, the only creation that came directly from the absolute, right? So that whoever so believes in him, focuses attention on him, loves him, and again, really, it's not a him, that's just using the language of the Bible. It's the I Am presence. Shall not perish, but shall receive eternal life. So that's the first quote out of, said 200 and something quotes. So if I'm going to share this book and this book and this book, and I'm going to go at that pace, we're going to be here until I am dead. But it'll be fun. Bye, everyone.